Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word. And I'm joined back with my illustrious co-host.
Yes.
100%. And tonight we are interviewing author of children's books, Miss Bonnie Lee. So if you want to call us up, the number is 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. And, of course, we want you to join us, check us out, socialize with us. So we encourage you to go to our Smooth Drama site at www.smoothdrama.com. Social network with us on Twitter, Smooth Drama, on Facebook, my yearbook tagged. I'm Dick Hugger. Add me. I'll add you back. We can talk a taste on it. If you go to the site, you can join the Yahoo group. Get in there. You know, we try to have meaningful discussions in there also. We want to be a part of your lives, and we want you to be a part of ours. So reach out in touch. Anyway, I know y'all don't really want to holler at me. You really want to find out about my fabulous co-host, fabulous, illustrious co-host. Tell them where they can catch you at.
www.mostfabulouscohostintheworld.com. As usual, Miss 100% spelled out on Facebook, Miss 100% spelled out at yahoo.com. That's my email address. Or you can follow me on Twitter at 100%.
Yes. And when you catch up to Miss 100%, y'all can have a $200 cup of panda dung tea.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's some expensive-ass tea. It costs for like 50 grams, like $3,500 each, which comes out to about $200 a cup. But the beauty of this tea is that it uses giant panda excrement.
Panda excrement. So they use a panda shit. Selling it for $200 a cup.
Pretty much, yeah.
But you know what? That's no different from a while back. They were lacing coffee with bat guano, which is bat shit. So, and a lot of Europeans was drinking that shit for like $20 a cup. So,
yeah,
no different.
Like, you can get bear shit for free.
You can get your. Hey, listen. You can go on this website called Cat Fetty, and you can get your bottle and shit in your cup for free.
Oh, okay. Now you done went way too far. See,
if you gonna drink shit, why pay $200 for it? Come on, really?
You want to get it for free?
I don't want it at all.
I don't either.
I don't want no thank you.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing that they could actually sell it for $200 a cup and folks was actually buying it. Because I'm like, I mean, does this tea make you live forever? Is it like Viagra tea? I'm trying to figure out what about panda dung make you like, yeah, that's the lick right there.
Like, yeah, I'm about to go drink this cup of panda shit, dude. Got to tear my lady up tonight for more. No.
Well, and I'm just sitting up there like, after drinking that tea, what's your breath like?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you talking about me, but there you go.
I'm just saying, because, hey, it is what it is. I mean, it's dung tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Speaking of dung, you know, lately Allen Iverson's been in the news, and not for good reason, because he's been reported that he's broke. He can't latch on to an NBA team. I mean, it's been a lot of stuff going on with him. And I guess now his wife has come out and said they had a divorce, and it wasn't because of other women. She's now filed court documents asking Iverson to turn over the names of any girls he slept with while they were married.
Wait. The divorce is final?
Yeah.
What's the fucking point?
I have no
idea. So she's not supposed to complain about. I mean, like, we already would not label, you know, with the mad black woman syndrome. You know, come on. Get over it. Move on. You know what I mean? Just move the hell on.
Well,
I mean, okay, let's say he did give her a bit. Then what?
I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, because, you know, like, she's looking for a settlement, and it's like you want to, and you got kids. They got five kids, so you want to drag the daddy through court for what? And you want to diminish his earning power so that he can give less to your kids later on? It's not that smart.
That makes no sense at all.
Right. And, like, he's sitting up at the crib like, yeah, I'm going to fax that list right on over to you.
Yeah. He faxed a copy of his nuts to her, like,
yeah. Right. But you can't do that, because, you know, if you do that, then it's all over.
Oh, God.
And you know how that goes. People see nuts and...
they just go crazy.
Yeah.
You're nuts. Oh, my God.
Yeah, nuts make folks go mad.
Right. Yeah. I know nuts make me go mad. But
as you know, there's some people, they have an aversion to nuts. Who am I to hate on them for loving nuts? Well, not loving nuts. I don't know. I'm nutty now. Nutty. As a New York City woman who was looking to get married, and she tried to apply for a marriage license, come to find out that she had already been married and sued for divorce back in 2009. And I guess she had been married also someone else in like 1996.
What?
Yeah, I guess what happened is somebody stole her identification or used her birth certificate to arrange bogus marriages to at least three men from other countries.
Wow. I know her dude was like, babe, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that's the conversation that you don't want to have. Yeah, so you get the license. Baby, I got something to tell you. They said that I couldn't get a license because I was already married and divorced in 2009, and I got two other husbands. I know this is wrong, but I'm just thinking Gary Coleman would say, "What you doing, Miami?" I'm sorry. Rest in peace, Gary Coleman. I'm just saying. You don't hear that one. That's just, it's amazing to me. That's all.
Like, you steal somebody's identity, and the only thing you can think to do is get married with it.
Well, I guess if you're going to get married and then take their money and move on and they can't find you no more because that's not your name.
Yeah, that's true.
Think about it. it's the perfect crime. You can do whatever the hell you want. And, you know, dude is like, I'm going to get you. You think you're going to divorce me and move on? Whatever. But you searching for somebody who ain't, that ain't even the person.
Somebody that don't exist.
Right. Well, they exist.
Well, they exist, but.
In another country.
Right, in another country. Right.
Anyway.
Talk about a rotten motherfucker.
Right. That is as rotten as you get. But I do have something that's close to rotten, and is coming out of my favorite state of Florida. This woman, Terry Gurley, who was I guess she was walking her dog in this parish, Longwood, and she noticed that there was a bear near a trash bin, and I guess the dog was trying to get at the bear, and she was walking backwards, she tripped and she fell. And as she was trying to get up, the bear came up right behind her and bit her on the ass.
Wow.
And, you know, she was screaming and running away and whatnot. And it got me to thinking. Once these things, right. Once these things happen, I'm saying, black women, y'all can't go to Florida now.
Nope.
Because bears are going to be like, oh, that's a tasty ass. I might want to bite it. You know, because, well, I guess the myth is black women, the big asses, you want to stay away because the bears in Florida and maybe everywhere else will start attacking you because you have the ass that they want to bite.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have many bears here where I am because it will be a massacre.
Well, you know, it got me to thinking. We need an organization that protects the ass. I mean, you know, I'm been down with Go Topless. You know, they protect women's rights and breasts, but there's no organization for the protection of ass. So. Because we hear Smooth Drama, we wish to fill the void. We founded BEPA, the Booty Environmental Ass Protection Society Association. My bad. And BEPA will do any and all things that we can to protect ass. So if you have an ass that needs protecting, feel free to email me.
And just to make sure your ass is worth protecting, take a picture of your ass.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, you don't want to like front, you know what I'm saying? Like they ass be protected and then they got a back and a crack. They really ain't got no booty.
Wow. I mean, are we having ass wars here? We saying that If you don't have the big bodacious ass that they can't have their ass protected 100.
I mean, what the hell the bear gonna bite? What he gonna bite?
I'm just saying, it's like you doing segregation of ass.
I mean, hey, it is what it is.
Hey, the people in the civil rights movement didn't march so that you could segregate ass. I'm sorry. You can't be ass hating.
I can't be ass hating.
No, you should.
Ass, little ones, small ones, huge ones.
Oh, and on that note, we gonna go on break before we bring our guests on. This is Jill Scott, because we gotta get this off our mind. But if y'all do want to join, dickandsmoothdrama.com. Anyway. This is Jill Scott. Cross my mind.
I was just thinking about you. Wondering if you wear the same clothes. Smell good on you. Had the next boyfriend of mine try that same. Thank you.
together, you gotta be smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with Dick Hugger and Miss 100%. That was Jill Scott. Crossed my mind. And now, let's get our guest, Miss Bonnie Lee, on the line.
Yeah. It seems to be crossing my mind. Okay. Having a slight issue. All right, hold on a second, people. We are going to have to Hello? Sorry about this. We're having technical difficulties beyond our control. Let me see if we can get her on the line here. in the meanwhile, I hope that everybody's warmed up now. I'm a tad bit warm after that song, cause you know Jill Scott, she does that to me. I get warm whenever I hear her speak. It's quite a thrill, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You should try it. It's kind of refreshing. No, you're not trying to try it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. It did cross your mind.
Yeah.
And once again, we apologize for the technical difficulties that we're having here in trying to cough. Well, let me try one more thing here. And hopefully this will work. Hopefully that will do it. We can get Ms. Lee on.
Hey, I'm calling in.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. We was having technical difficulties trying to call you. Oh, she's gone.
She's back.
Now she's back. All right. Sorry about that, everyone. Ms. Lee, welcome to Smooth Drama. How you doing today?
Great. Thanks for speaking with me tonight.
Actually, this is Ms. 100%, co-host of Smooth Drama.
Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Now.
Yeah, absolutely.
In looking over your information, I mean, you know, they talk about the Renaissance man. You're the Renaissance woman, jack of all trades, and you're the master of all of them. I mean, you was an English as second language teacher, world traveler, trapeze artist for Cirque du Soleil. I'm like.
Yep, I guess you could say I was a jack of all trades, and I don't know if I'm a master of any of them, but I'm still trying.
I'm just wondering, how do you go from all that to writing children's books?
I don't think there's, like, a real disconnect between any of it, because it all stems from a creative place, and I feel that as you get older, you can still be creative without risking life and limb. So I feel that the books are a really good segue into staying very creative and colorful and adding, you know, some happiness to people's lives without, you know, putting my own self at risk.
as a trapeze artist, is it like dangerous date? I mean, even though you have a net, I mean, it's like, I see that stuff and I marvel at it. Is there like a rush to it?
There's a pretty heavy flow of adrenaline, and I think it's the adrenaline that sort of keeps you from, you know, falling, because it's such an incredible rush. And it's also the kind of adrenaline that when the show is over, you don't even realize that you performed, because there's so much adrenaline going through you. But, you know, I've spent pretty much my entire life doing theatrical dance or contortion, or, you know, the trapeze was just like another segue into it.
Mm.
But I definitely found that, you know, going to another country like Japan and teaching English as a second language, I mean, that's also pretty terrifying. You go into another country, you don't speak the language fluently, there's a lot of cultural differences, and, you know, you're putting yourself in a place where everything is unfamiliar. So to me, trapeze was not as scary as, say, putting myself in, like, a complete culture shock.
Wow. I mean, when you put it like that, you're just thinking, okay, I'm a trapeze artist, and I put my life on the line every time I perform, but that's nothing compared to teaching in another country.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't have a security net. You don't have people who know you when you're there. You really have to trust in whomever you make as your friend or your sponsor, and you really just have to go in with the idea that you're there to do a job and you have to be very professional, but then at the same time you have to sort of keep all of your reservations at a minimum because you're there as an authority figure, and yet you're kind of scared, you know, out of your wits. I enjoy doing the children's books right now because it gave me a chance to donate most of the proceeds to organizations that I've always been very passionate about, like the Wildlife Foundation or the National Wildlife Federation. So I'm very passionate about animals, and I always have been. And I really had a great opportunity to be able to donate pretty much all of the proceeds at this point to my organizations. And with this fourth book that I'm writing, I'm trying to make my nonprofit company into a partial profit company so I can continue writing these books, because these books are very expensive for me to produce because it's all out-of-pocket expenses.
Right.
Right.
Now, I mean, now your love of animals, is that one of the motivating factors, you writing children's books which are about animals?
Yeah, I mean, it gives me a great forum to translate my characters into more of an anthropomorphic sense. I've always gravitated towards animals as a kid, and I think a lot of children really do appreciate animals because they are so unconditionally loving, at least the domestic ones. And when I was really young, I really was passionate about animals that were really exotic, and I knew they were going to have issues being so exotic because of their fur being hunted or ivory being hunted. And I was pretty aware of this pretty early on because, you know, you don't see a lot of these animals. I mean, you see them in the zoos because these are where they're protected mostly.
Okay. So, As an animal activist, do you think that your books can help raise awareness for, you know, help protect the environment and not just exploiting and destroying the animals in their natural habitats?
Yeah, I don't think it would hurt I think, you know, because partial proceeds will always be donated to these organizations, whether kids are aware of it or not, the purchase of the book will be going to these organizations. So, you know, whether they are passionate about animals or they just like the story because they're very simple adventures that teach valuable life lessons, I think regardless whether a parent is buying the book because of the kids are gravitating towards the illustrations or what the book is talking about, the book will always be kind of a twofold. It'll be for the children's enjoyment, and it'll also be beneficial to help with the preservation of endangered animals, whether you want it or not.
Okay, so talk about your books, and which one do you think that you had the most joy making?
I think the most joy came from Go Go Sadie, which is my second book. It's a book that I was inspired by the character because I went to Costa Rica and I was working at a volunteer sloth sanctuary in the eastern Caribbean part of the country in an area called Avieros, which is near Cahuita in Costa Rica. And this is a sanctuary that basically has most of its workers as volunteers. And they help sloths, which are indigenous to Costa Rica, get, you know, rehabilitated if they've been hurt, if they've been hit with electrical wires or they got hit with cars or they fell from their mom when they were very little and were abandoned. Mm. And this center has an amazing population of baby sloths and sloths that were hurt, and sometimes they'll get monkeys or even a jaguar because it's just the nature of where this sanctuary is located that people, if they find an animal in nature that's hurt, they bring it to them because that's where people bring them. And I was inspired by meeting all of these incredible animals, and I kind of like the idea of writing a book about a sloth that, quote-unquote, runs a marathon, because sloths being one of the slowest creatures on the planet, I just kind of like the idea of not giving up and not kind of selling yourself short, even though everybody's kind of like telling you, like, you're a sloth. I don't understand, like, why you would even think of running in a race. So all of my books always teach these valuable life lessons that you don't have to be the best. You should never give up. You should always try to, like, you know, do what's passionate for you and not being so heavily, like, persuaded by anybody else. Wow. So I sort of have this mentality since I grew up, and I was always trying to, you know, push myself to be the best. It's okay if you're not the best. It's okay to come in second, but it's an amazing experience just to kind of get up there and try.
I agree. Right. I just have a problem with being the one who has to wait at the finish line for the sloth.
Yeah, so it's fun. And then my other book that came after it, Bonita the Fruit Bat Counts to 10, the fruit bat is also an indigenous animal that comes out of, like, Central and South America. And I used this experience of being in that part of the world as another sort of leverage to, you know, get another unique creature out there, like a fruit bat. Like, not many people know a lot about bats. They sort of have a bad stigma. So I like to introduce unique animals so people will have understanding about them.
I can understand the stigma. I mean, because I'm thinking that so long as I avoid the bat and he can't drink my blood, we good. But the whole, he's going to eat my fruit? No.
Yeah, well, there are different types of bats. A fruit bat is different from a vampire bat, which is, you know, correctly called a vampire bat because they do drink blood, mostly from cattle or from livestock more than humans.
Right.
But, I mean, fruit bats are pretty harmless to people. They're quite adorable. They really are completely obsessed with eating fruits and flowers and nectars and sugars, and they control a lot of the insect population because they will eat bugs as well. So, and they're just an important part of the food chain. So when they defecate, they lay out seeds from all the fruits that they leave, that they eat. And so most of your trees and everything comes from the byproduct of a fruit bat, because they pollinate the soil with all their seeds that they drop.
Well, you didn't hear what we were talking about earlier in the show.
Okay.
$200 a cup panda dropping.
Panda dung peas.
So maybe you can get some of this fruit bat dung, and that may be how you can become profitable.
No.
So everything in nature is, you know, symbiotic to something else. So the fruit bat definitely plays an important part in nature, just like birds do. I mean, birds are big advocates of dropping seeds after they eat them, and they're fully fertilized at that point, and they drop into the ground and they sprout, and there you go. You have all of your, like, beautiful orchids of, like, orchards of trees and flowers and what have you. So all of these animals are really important to, you know, the cycle of life.
No, I agree with you. The cycle of life is a beautiful thing. I wish more people kind of understood how important that cycle of life is. They think that these things just happen by accident. And they don't.
Yeah, and so now, like, what I was asking my community to do was to help me with a viral marketing campaign with a project that I launched on Kickstarter. And Kickstarter is a really great opportunity for people who come up with really great ideas and kind of reach out to the general public and have the general public become their own venture capitalists or angel investors in their projects. So you could be a musician, you could be an author, you could be a painter, you could be somebody who's just interested in traveling and just needs someone to help you fund your trip, because your trip will be something educational or beneficial. So I launched a project that Kickstarter accepted my proposal for, to reach out to my community to help me get funding for my fourth book titled The Down Under Salad Bowl, which will take place in Australia, and it'll star a koala. And the koala is a very, very picky eater. I mean, koalas are very synonymous with eating eucalyptus leaves, and basically that's all they like to eat. And this is a story that's going to teach kids that it's okay to be picky about what you want to eat. Just learn to try to eat something once in a while that's different, so you know why you don't like it. You could still not like it, but it's important to at least try something new.
Right.
So, yeah, so this will be a fun book which will take my readers to Australia and learn about indigenous animals of the Australian country and, you know, learn a new lesson about it's okay if you don't like something, but it's also important to at least try it. That way you know why you don't like it.
All right. Well, tell the people where they can catch up to you and get a hold of these fabulous books.
Okay. Well, my website is BonnieLeeBooks.com. So that's BonnieLeeBooks.com. And you can click on the Buy Books tab, and that will take you to where you could buy right now Momo Come Home, which is the first book, Go-Go Sadie, and Bonita the Fruit Bat Counts to 10. And Bonita the Fruit Bat Counts to 10 will be available as a hardcover in May. And if people want to help me do the fundraising for the Down Under Salad Bowl, I still have another week with Kickstarter, and they can just go to Kickstarter.com and look under the Down Under Salad Bowl or Bonnie Lee, and they could see my project. And if they'd like to contribute a small amount of money, like up to $1 to however money you are interested in funding, every bit of pledge would be most appreciated, because as I said before, all of my costs are out of pocket, and this would be a great help for me to continue writing my books without the financial strain of it.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for coming on the show. And,
thank you.
We hope that the people can get behind you, and whenever you come out with another book, feel free to hit us up, and we'd love to have you on and talk about it.
Absolutely. I'll be doing readings at the Oakland Zoo over the summer, so I'll be sure to keep all of my updates of where I'll do readings on my website, and I hope that people who have listened to the show will come on up and introduce themselves and show support for the preservation of animals.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on again, and we hope you have a good night.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
Good night.
All right. That was Bonnie Lee, a children's book author. Check out her site. She's got a lot of good stuff. So if you've got any kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, you want to give them something educational, you can go there and you can find something interesting. And on that note, we're gonna go on another break. This time, we're going to go to Q-Tip. This is I Believe.
Drama with Big Hugger and me, Miss 100%. That was Cupid, I believe.
Yes, I believe also that we need more common sense in the world.
Show enough.
Yes, like Israeli graphic designer Ronnie Edry, who had created posters with messages of peace for the people of Iran and posted them on Facebook, you know, saying basically he wanted to talk to the Iranian people saying, hey, we love you too, and we have no hard feelings or animosity toward anybody. And, you know, the Iranian people came back and said the same thing. And the funny thing, as history shows, it's never the people who actually do the fighting hating each other.
Right.
It's the people up top who never raise a gun unless they're hunting and shooting
right.
homies. You know,
right.
if we want to have a battle, why don't we have these cats who have the real disagreement fight each other in the boxing ring, whatnot, and we'll watch. You know, because, I mean, obviously, the real regular people, they don't have a stake in the war.
Right. Like, you the one want the poppy field, so won't you take your ass out there in the desert and go ahead and glean all those poppies from them poppy fields, since you're the one that want it. I mean, why do everybody else have to get involved?
Right. I mean, the whole, as you know, right now, there's been the outrush. Oh, we may have to fight Iran because they want to do something to somebody somewhere, or they are like almost 20 years away from getting the nuclear bomb, so we have to stop that. We have to make it 30 years.
Right. You know what's crazy? We have nuclear weapons, but we don't want nobody else to have them.
Right.
So we try to stop them. It's just a whole big bunch of bowl of shit.
Hold on. Say that again.
It's just a whole big bowl of shit to me. I'm sorry.
Well, that and the fact that we have them, want nobody else to have them, so we'll
right.
go to war to make sure that you never
right.
them.
We're willing to start a nuclear war so that other people won't get nuclear weapons. That's stupid. Come on. Common sense is on call, like you said.
Yes. Common sense is definitely on call. But I don't think nobody's picking up the phone. Except for the people over in Israel and Iran who are talking to each other like, yo, I don't want to fight. And other people like, yo, we don't want to fight either.
We want peace. They want peace. Everybody wants peace.
Except for the people who do no fighting.
Right.
Funny how that goes, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of people who do the fighting, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Deion Anthony.
Yeah.
Yes. Deion Anthony, you are a great guy. And if y'all want to know who Deion Anthony is and why he's such a great guy, Deion Anthony is a Memphis cop who was broadcasting his sexual escapades over the police radio. He was getting busy.
Mistakenly, of course. He didn't know he was doing it.
Yeah, I guess while he was flexing his muscles, he accidentally hit the console microphone, and everybody who had a police scanner got a little taste of the Deion Anthony show.
So he's my hero of the month.
Yeah, and I mean, people, you may not understand why he's a hero, but I say this, because he wasn't a cop who was caught shooting nobody, wasn't pulling nobody over, profiling, none of that. He was getting busy. I'm like, if that's the worst that I'll hear about Mr. Deion Anthony, two thumbs up, homie.
He all right with me.
Yeah. You are the man. I promise you. Hey, keep hitting that console button. That means you working it right.
Yeah, especially if everybody sat there and listened to it.
Oh, I mean, well, you can imagine you turning on the police scanner. Yeah, you like that, don't you? I know you feel that Billy stick. I know.
Okay, moving right along.
I'm just saying, hey, you know, I thought it was kind of cool. We hear about a cop doing something wrong and not for beating nobody mistakenly, not for shooting anybody mistakenly. He was hitting you with what comes down out of his zipper. I ain't down with that, but I'm sure other people is cool with it.
Right.
Yeah. But what's not cool, or maybe it is depending on your point of view, is Sean Winkler, not to be mistaken with Henry Winkler, who is the Fonzie.
Hey.
Yeah. He's a member of the White Knights of the KKK, and he's running for sheriff in Bonner County, Idaho. And I guess he's saying that federal overreach has motivated him to run for the office.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at least people know where he stands.
Yeah.
At least he's not, you know, doing the big ass thing where he, you know, really stands for one thing, but outwardly he's appearing to stand for something good, but inwardly, you know, he's all bullshit, you know.
Right.
He's letting you know up front. He
bring his hating ass attitude up front. He ain't lying. You know, like these other cats, they be lying on the mic. Oh, no, I ain't racist. I just hate all of y'all. I just hate you on the low.
I ain't racist. I'm just a hater.
Right. Yeah, so he bringing his hate out front. I am a white knight of the KKK. That's what it is.
And, wow.
Yeah, as Ice Cube once said, cross him out with a K. You need to send him through Inglewood. And I guess it's cool in northern Idaho, so long as there's no black people, he really got nobody to hate on. I mean, as a white supremacist, I guess I shouldn't make the assumption, but he's in northern Idaho. I'm going to assume that black folks and other races are at a minimum there.
But they could still exist, though.
Yeah, I mean, it might be two or three of them. And if you are there, if he
wins. Get your ass out now.
Yeah, if he wins, it's time to roll. I mean, even if he don't win, it may be time to roll.
Yeah.
Just saying that.
Because if they even considering him
running.
Right.
He bold enough to run, that means he think he can win. It's kind of funny. But it's not. You know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I hope he choke on a donut or something.
Well,
I guess I
should. Now, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm stereotyping. And, you know, hopefully it's Dunkin' and not Krispy Kreme. anyway. Now, speaking of cops that, well, not cops, but people who need to choke on something, as y'all know, we've been talking about this Trayvon Martin death. Shot by this punk ass security guard, neighborhood watch, whatever the hell you want to call his ass.
He's just a damn. He's just a racist hater. That's all he is.
Yeah, they finally came out with the 911 call, and on top of it, he was on the phone with his girlfriend right before his death. Unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah, where the 911 call, the police specifically tell him, do you see him? And he's like, yeah, I see him. And they tell him, stay away.
Don't approach him.
Right. And
I always thought that was what neighborhood watch people were supposed to do. They
watch.
Were supposed to watch and not act.
Watch. Yeah. Now, in light of all of this, and I'm sure that everybody's seen the petition that's been circulating online. I signed my name on there. So far as to date, it's over 500,000 people who think he should be arrested. And, you know, quite honestly, I can say that fuck a petition. You know, this guy killed someone.
Right.
It's on record, the police telling him, the dispatcher is like, we don't need you to do that. As far as following him goes,
mm-hmm.
he still has not been arrested.
What is going on that they won't arrest this guy?
I mean, does he have pictures of the whole police department?
Even if he did have some the police in his pocket, how can you get out of this? It's very apparent that you murdered a 17-year-old child.
And he's got a history of assaulting the police.
What?
I mean, it's I don't know. One, I don't know how the hell he got to be in charge of neighborhood watch.
How did he get a record for a gun with the record for assaulting police?
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point. It's going on too far. Way too far. And I'm sorry. You know, people I won't say that I'm advocating violence. I'm just saying that there need to be some folks who mob up.
Yeah.
You know, you can't let this dude do that and think he can get away with it. Like, you know, what's the message? You can just shoot black folks anytime you want. You can just shoot we'll just say black folks anytime you want. And boom. Nothing. No arrest. You can shoot somebody and not go to jail.
Mm-hmm. But they like to, this is the thing. They like to say, oh, black people deserve it because they're black, they're animals, they're used to this, they're used to violence. Okay, let's say, for instance, all of that is true. And let's just say, for instance, that it's okay just to kill black people. What makes you think that they're going to stop at black people? Once they start doing, once it's allowed to happen to one person, it's going to go ahead and trickle down to other people.
Well, I mean, let's just stop at trickling down on him. you know, because he's not a part of no organization.
No.
You know, he's just a crazy-ass racist.
And I don't even, and the people are calling him, like, vigilante. You can't even call him a vigilante. Vigilantes go out and hunt down
criminals.
Criminals, and they act on that. That he's not a vigilante. He's a hater.
Right.
He's a racist.
Right.
He's a murderer.
Yep.
He's cold-blooded, cold-hearted murderer.
Yes. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I'm still waiting. I still haven't seen that news ticker. This punk motherfucker has not been arrested yet. I'm still waiting.
FBI investigation be damned.
Right.
He still hasn't been arrested. Had it been a black man to shoot a white boy, they would have lynched his ass right then and there. It wouldn't be no, is he going to go to jail, no type of trial or anything. They would have lynched that man right on the spot.
Yeah, well, on that note, we definitely want to send our prayers out to the family for losing their young man. I mean, as a father, I can say no one wants to bury their children. No parent should have to bury their child. Wow. And I want to, as we end the show here, I want to thank Ms. Bonnie Lee for coming on the show. I want to thank you, the listeners and the bloggers, for listening in. For Miss 100%, I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word, with Smooth Drama. And we're out. Peace. Hey.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.